2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. He wrote, "There will be terrible times in the last days." I think it's arguable that we're living in the last days. "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without any self-control. They will be brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power." And then we're warned, it says, "Have nothing to do with these people." Let me emphasize that. Have nothing to do with those people. Does that sound familiar? The last part, of course, is very scary, for it's easy to say, well, that's just those people out there in the world. Those people out there, the unconverted, all those non-Sabbath keepers. Not people in my church. But the verses say that of those characteristics found at the last days, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. There's going to be a veneer of faith, a plastic form of righteousness, an ersatz element of the truth. And it warns us again, have nothing to do with such people. Well, the mass media is playing into this, right? Certainly the news, the entertainment, the professional sports, the music industry, expression of all types, everything you find on the internet. It's all playing a major role to influence us, to influence our minds and our very souls. And each of those awful traits are found in a daily smorgasbord of information devoured by billions of minds, focused on television and the internet and movies, music, devices of all types, right? We're being bombarded every day, 24/7. Welcome to the age of crude amusements and pandering to lust, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lust for violence, self-glorification, sex without commitment of marriage, vicarious indulgence into every type of forbidden fruit that you can imagine, dramas and soap operas and talk shows that constitute the immoral equivalent of a sewer, flooding all of our human minds, us included. It's reminiscent of being seated in the ancient Roman Colosseum in the arena, people vampiring off of the destruction of others, people doomed to die as we watch, vampiring off of their souls, off of people humiliating themselves, and people being humiliated. And oh, how the devil loves to do that. Satan is real. He loves to peer and watch as a perverted spectator of people who are made in the image of God being destroyed and humiliating themselves. All the motive for the filth in today's world is simple. It's money. Delivering eyes to advertisers. You know, I used to have a weekly financial radio program on some large metro radio stations, KROLA here and KNEW up in San Francisco. And at one of the markets, the program manager for the cluster of the Clear Channel stations was the program manager for all the different stations. Okay, and within that cluster, he had a classical radio station, he had a rock station, he had an oldie station. They had conservative talk, you know, with all the guys, Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and all that, and liberal talk, Air America liberal talk. And so he was the station manager for all of those stations, including both the liberal and the conservative stations. And I asked him one time, I said, how can you do the programming for a liberal station and the programming for a conservative station? How do you do that? Don't you find yourself perplexed? And here's what he answered to me. He said, it didn't bother him in the least. He said, for him, the issues don't matter. And all that did matter was providing something for everybody as a hook for their ears. Okay? You see, the salespeople need to sell ads. And so when they went out with a portfolio of all these different stations, they were able to have a demographic of every type. Young people, Democrats, Republicans, old angry white men, young angry minorities, you name it. He'd be able to sell, a salespeople could sell ads for McDonald's and Albertsons and Walmart and car dealerships and all that. And for whoever the customer was, well, we have the market for you, right? We have the demographic available. And it was all about ad revenue, okay? Media doesn't care about truth. Media doesn't care about anything except ad revenue. Remember that, okay? You're a mark. You're a target. Programming that most effectively hooks the largest audience features what? Fast-paced content. It's on a mesmerizing diet of sex. I mean, I go on the internet, and there's always something on a sidebar. There's some gal in a bikini, right? So you can't believe what she looks like now. You ever see that on the internet, right? And like, you know, to try to get you, bait you to click, right? You know, I see some of you shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. And they call that clickbait, right? And they're always apping you. Isn't it interesting? It's an unreal world too that you see in media, on television, and everything. Strikingly beautiful people. Attractive, both the heroes and the villains in these things. You know, Terry will watch a couple of NCIS, and I go, don't they have any ugly cops? The cops I run into on the street are ugly, right? They got beautiful, good-looking women in the labs, and the doctors, and the lawyers, and even the villains are good-looking, right? It's unreal. People sitting in a restaurant scene, they're all good-looking. Where are these people? What universe is this, right? Anyway. But they're there, hero and villains, amping you up with social and political issues to inflame you. I don't care if you're right, left. They're trying to amp you up. You're being mentally conditioned to hate. We're being manipulated. We're being hypnotized. All to distract us from the daily process of life. And let's face it, daily life, a lot of it's routine. A lot of it's maintenance. Get up, make the bed, comb your hair, vacuum the carpet, wash the car, go to work, pay the bills, right? And all of it seems very boring by comparison to what you see in media. You know, produce enticing material, and you're going to make money. And of course, like all things, as the initial rush and the excitement of something becomes routine, you become calloused. I don't care if it's drinking, smoking, whatever it is. You're going to need more. And so what do we see? There's new levels all the time. I just can't believe the new levels that were being thrown at. The stuff that would have been illegal back when we were kids, back 150 years ago when Larry Sharp and I were kids. You know, there's the need for more bizarre, more outrageous, more violating in all arenas of our life. Larger and larger doses necessary for the high. We've become numbed. We've become calloused. We are addicted. Now, if you own a movie and TV production rights to sex, lust, and greed, you're going to make more money. If you own the cable systems and the satellite systems, you're going to make even more. And if you own the entire media complex, and there's been all these mergers and all that, it's billions and billions of dollars. It's powerful. All seeking greater control over what we see and what we're consuming in an end-time materialistic system. Now, God says to any that are caught up into this materialistic system, mindset, and culture, he warns us in Revelation 18, verse 4. He says this, referring to the end-time Babylon. And that's what this is, Babylon, confusion. Come out of her. And who does it say to come out of her? My people, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. Again, it's so easy for us to think it's those people out there. No, it's talking about us. Come out of her, my people. We are God's people. And we are in Babylon, and we're surrounded by it. We must be aware. We must be very aware, lest we take of her plagues. We don't want to be seduced and ensnared by the system. Come out of her, my people. Now, I want to cover three basic areas, three basic philosophies that almost all the stuff that you see and hear about and confronted with can hang your hat on. There's three basic philosophies. There's lots of issues, all these lifestyle issues and, you know, whether you're a boy or a girl and all these types of things, abortion issues, on and on and on it goes, right? Right, left, political stuff, things are going on in the international schemes and all that. There's really three major philosophies that are being pushed on us that you can hang all these other issues out here that you can get all excited about. All right, I want to cover what they are. And the trunk, we'll call them the trunk of the tree of deception, of philosophies that are permeating our age. And so anything that you're encountering, I want you to think of these three major philosophies that we're going to cover that are false philosophies, and that every single one of these philosophies do not believe in God. There's no place for God in any one of these basic philosophies that are in schools, that are in business, that are in politics, that are in media. All right, there's no room for God there. God has to be eliminated out of any one of those three arenas. And once you eliminate God and his thinking and his revelation from our thinking, human reason rules, and you can end up with anything. You could justify cannibalism, right? You could justify anything if you remove God from the equation. So number one of philosophies that the major media is pushing onto us is this. And look for it. Marxist communism. And it goes by other names, right? I guess we'll call Marxist communism light, socialism, all right? And Marxist-Leninist socialism, it's always attached, again, to atheism. You see, the state is God under those systems, all right? Christians have suffered persecution and imprisonment every time there's a communist government. I don't care if it was Cuba, Cambodia, Soviet Union, right? There's no place for us, all right? You have to eliminate people who have a faith in a Marxist-communist system because the God is the government. The God is the centralized government. There's no room for liberty and freedom. And realize we do worship a God that believes in liberty and freedom. It is the only way for liberty and freedom. It's through Jesus Christ and the law of God. Okay? And social order as revealed by God. You have to eliminate that. The belief has affected the mindset of so many political, cultural, and educational leaders around the globe. And because of it, it exerts a powerful influence in everything, including media. And it's propagated to us from the media on four false ideas. Number one, God does not exist. And that man is simply a highly evolved animal with no hope of an afterlife. Point two, within that type of system, is that truth is relative. There is no true moral standard on ways to live. Everyone has the right to decide right and wrong for themselves. Right? It goes back to the old two trees idea. That's an original sin, which was, I reject, Adam and Eve said, we reject the revelation of God. And God said, fine, have it your way. Create your own governments. Create your own way of life. Create your own system. You decide what is right and wrong. See what happens. And this experiment through the last 6,000 plus years has been a failure. This is sort of an aversion therapy, isn't it? Right? We can live this life doing things our own way and sow and reap. And it just doesn't work. Okay? Then also point three, that a one-party government should own the wealth and the ways of creating wealth in a country. It can distribute this wealth however the leaders choose. And this means the goal to have state control over the economy, over politics, over education and religion. There is one way, and that's it. There will be no room for debate. We're the smart ones, you're the dumb ones, and you're gonna obey. Or you're gonna end up in a gulag, or you're gonna end up dead. It always ends up with a totalitarian government without freedom of thought. Point four, human nature is very malleable, can be altered by changing environment. And if we could just share the goods in a communal way, the term communism means living communally, that people will live in peace and harmony, and then all the negative aspects of human nature will supposedly wither away. Well, it sounds nice. There's lots of idealistic utopian ideas out that have been proposed over time. And the problem is, in dozens and dozens of situations where there's been Marxist communist governments, it has never succeeded. There's never been joy and happiness. All right? Don't be sold on the bill of goods. Well, if we could just turn everything into Denmark, everything will be wonderful. Right? By the way, Denmark has problems. All right? And the system is not sustainable. Maybe for a little while. If I jump up in the air, I can defy the law of gravity for a few seconds, right? But gravity always comes back down. Yeah, I'd be all for it, folks, if it worked. I'd be all for it if the God of the Bible revealed such a system. But there is not equality. People have different gifts. People have different talents. People have given 1, 2, 5, right? You're entitled to the fruits of your labor. It says in the Bible, don't work, don't eat. Right? There's a place for mercy. But a communist system is not a scriptural system. Distribution of goods, you know, you say it's stealing. It's based on envy. Those guys have that, and I don't. And I know the answer. The answer is we just take it from them. That'll make things right. And all you're going to do in all communist socialist systems is that you can create equality. It's the equality of everyone that's poor. And again, I give the example of Venezuela, one of the most prosperous nations in South America at one time. And look at it now. They're fighting over whether or not you can, you know, have toilet paper or not. Anyway, not to go on to this too far, but the institution of communism is a direct rebellion against God's commandments, which goes right back to the right to a belief in God and family values and personal property instead of state control. And again, it's permeating lots of our thinking. Lots of our thinking. Anyway, point two of what Satan is using for philosophy in all the different areas of our life is Darwinistic evolution. In the 1800s, there was the English naturalist Charles Darwin. He developed a theory that human beings evolved from lower forms of life. Starting from single-cell amoebas, the lineage of human beings progressed to fish and to amphibians, to reptiles, to mammals, and from apes and that to man. It supposes that there's not a creator God. Remember, the Sabbath day that we celebrate is a memorial to creation. It's an honor to the great creator. But this led to the conclusion then that if that's all we came from, there's no meaning to life. In fact, it also implies there's no free will. It's just all kind of evolved from the Big Bang. And whether God used the Big Bang to create the universe or not, who knows? But it's possible. But if everything is just naturalistic, then there is no meaning. Nihilism. It just simply means that even what you imagine is free will, it's just atoms bouncing around in your brain. All right, there is no purpose to life if you believe that we just evolved, okay, without a purpose. It just happened. Blind, purposeless chance. Now, the author, Aldous Huxley, he was a great supporter of Darwin's theory. He made a remarkable admission. He said, quote, "For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was simultaneously liberation from a certain political and economic systems and liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom." So again, if there's no purpose to life, right, even Paul said in the Bible, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for we shall die." He was basically saying there's no meaning to life without God. And various critics of evolutionary theory pointed out, if you teach a student to believe he's just an animal, don't be surprised when they start to act like one. Is it any surprise that our media portrays violence, cheating, sexual immorality, drug abuse, rebellion against authority Right? Is it any wonder that that's what we're being bombarded with? Because there's no meaning. There's no love either. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. I look at things out there, different music. Maybe I don't like the music, but I hear there's talent in it. I see certain artwork. And I, it's kind of twisted, but I know there's talent there. I can see there's talent. And you know, what happens is, when you remove God from the equation, when you forget that we're made in the very image of God. I was very glad to hear our president, whether you like him or not, that he said that, hey, human beings are made in the image of God. Here, he just said that the other day in regards to this abortion issue, where, you know, they're talking about aborting a baby in a birth canal. It would be legal in the state of New York. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But he did say that we are made in the image of God. If you don't have that as a fundamental base, you don't understand who we are and how special we are, that we're a special creation. You're going to be lost. You're going to be very, very lost. Evolution plays right into that. It's demeaning you, who you are. You're just a bunch of protoplasm. You're a zygote. Well, we are not. We're made in the image of God. And once you go through that barrier and understand that, a lot of things change in your thinking. So we have to deny that. You're going to find that in all the things trying to influence you in your life is to move you down into a blob of protoplasm. All right? It's demeaning. I guess in the carnal way of viewing the world, I guess we're the lowest level of animal. Every other animal is above us, and we're down at the bottom. We're the trouble. We're not in the image of God. We're actually the problem. All right, point three on the philosophies that are motivating and pushing is Freudian psychology. Freudian psychology. So I'll give you a little refresher on what this is about. There was an Austrian neurologist, Sigmund Freud, and Freud was considered the father of psychoanalysis. And he developed different methods and different views of psychology back in the late 1800s into the 1900s. And his teachings were primarily that the reason we have problems, the reason we have angst in life, is that we have guilt. We have guilt from doing sinful things. And so he promoted the idea that if you just liberate yourself from guilt, then you wouldn't have these emotional disorders. All right? Liberation. Just do what feels good. If it feels good, do it. It all goes back to this philosophy. He had a lot of hang-ups, this guy Freud, by the way. He's a drug addict, and he had a lot of perversions that I won't go into. But he is still considered the father of modern psychology. All right. And so what do we see here? He said that moral repression was damaging to mental health. You know, it's crazy. Let me tell you, it's good there's moral repression. I hope you have moral repression in your life. I hope that when you do things that are wrong, you're driven to repentance, all right? And we're all sinners. I will confess to that, right? But it's good that we feel guilt. It's stupid. It's just downright insanity to say that whatever you do, it's okay and it feels good, do it. Freud's ideas have spread and they've caught on, haven't they? And there's a whole loosening of society's morals as the 20th century has now moved into the 21st century. It's now paved its way into depravity of all types, and it's throughout our media. And so that whatever you think you are, it's okay. We got to accept that. But listen, I want to tell you something, though. I do have one thing. I'm going to roll along with this. I want to identify. I want to change my identity, okay? I want all of you to consider me from now on a billionaire. I have my identity. I'm not happy with where I'm at, and I want to be a billionaire, and all of you must accept that from now on. I want my identity to be known as a billionaire. Okay, thank you. And I want you to pay for my private jet because I'm tired of flying coach. Okay? You better accept it or I'm going to have a tizzy fit. All right. Point four, the removal of God. The removal of God. You know, within our lifetimes. I'm only 61 years old. I've seen a lot of things change. I'm absolutely amazed how much things have changed just in my short lifetime. From the post-World War II era to today, just so much has happened. But it was just recently, just 1962, 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court, led by Chief Justice Earl Warren, made the decision to ban prayer and the Bible, any kind of Bible reading, from public schools. It's gone as far as that even if a teacher went and would, without reading it, not quoting anything, just to have a Bible on their desk at school, it's not allowed. That's how far it's gone. You're not allowed to have a Bible with you at school, right? It's amazing how far we've gone. So we banned prayer, we banned public Bible reading from public schools, which is a foundational element of education, right? So we just don't say that God word. We can say any other kind of word, right? But don't you dare say that God word here at school. Taboo. It's evil. Now, it's spread around the world, by the way. This we pioneered it, and it's gone around the world, right? We've also witnessed the government and the private sector increasingly apply these anti-values in ways to an extent that we've never envisioned by the justices that rendered those original decisions, such as you just can't even mention God in a prayer. You know, when I graduated from high school in 1975, that little invocation, that the local priest came over and said a little non-denominational prayer, nobody blinked. Nobody cared. It's absolutely, we cannot have that. We can have all this other stuff you see all the time in movies. And that's okay. But don't you dare mention prayer. Tim Tebow had John 3:16 on his eye black underneath the helmet, right? No, absolutely not. Cannot. But we can have all the rest of this stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy. So expressions of Christian values are prohibited or denounced. And these anti-values are marketed wholesale through the entertainment industry, which saturates our culture with trivial violence and death. And we can kill people, right, over and over. I mean, the average child has witnessed, what, 5,000 murders by the time they're 18 years old from television, video games, and everything else, right? But don't you dare mention, you know, Jesus Christ. And we've created the illusion that wanton murder is just a game. Just a game. The removal of God from the marketplace has created a vacuum. It's created a vacuum for media, which has been filled with flawed human reason, love of self, and base narcissistic satisfactions. So the way to come out is to recognize where our materialistic, self-obsessed entertainment media have led us. Turn off the consumption. I know it's impossible to get away from it. I understand. But let's be aware. If anything is a takeaway from today, be aware of how you're being influenced. All right? To wake up from a hypnotic state, that's step one, is to be aware of what's happening around you. So turn away from the consumption. Turn away from the self-obsessed way of life. Instead, turn to God and His Word. Turn to the Bible. Remember, God recorded the warnings of this age to us for a reason. Come out of her, my people. From such, turn away. Now look, brothers and sisters, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're good folk. That's why I'm here, right? I like you. You're good people. You're here today on God's holy Sabbath day. You're at the right place. You're at a good place. But seek always to find sound, wholesome, and good, uplifting material. Who you're going to be in 5 years is going to be, I can make this prediction. I'm not a false prophet. I can guarantee you who you're going to be in 5 years. It's going to be based on who you're hanging around with, the five people you spend the most amount of time with, and the books that you're reading and things that you're watching. That is who you're going to be in 5 years. Guaranteed. Slam dunk. But analyze that. Who are you hanging around, and what are you feeding yourself mentally? Because that's who you're going to be 5 years from today. So surround yourself with good, uplifting material, fellowship, and community as a counterweight to this world and its crazy philosophies around us. Guard the gates to your heart. Guard the gates to your mind. guards the gates to your mind and your soul in this ever-present, be an ever-present light in this dark world. Let no man take your crown. We're warned. I guess it can happen. And don't think it's not me, won't be me. Take heed, he who thinks he stand, lest he fall. We need to be humble about this. And as we do, let us always pray that God's kingdom can come soon.